The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek. Ladies and gentlemen, noted fan of the Milwaukee Bucks and the Green Bay Packers. In for Kelly Bidlin, who's ailing this morning.
He is, but we texted a couple times. He seems to be, he's good enough to text.
What do you know? He's healthy.
He's good enough to text. Hey, you know, you mentioned Jordan Love. I was really happy about it. I felt 36 points in preseason week one game. Yeah. Super Bowl's coming our way.
Do you hope for the best? I think.
I liked what I saw out of Jordan. Yeah. I think he looks calm, cool, and collective. The first drive, I thought the safety made a real good play on the deep ball to Christian Watson. He overthrew Luke Musgrave on an open drag route, but he came back in the second drive and threw a beautiful ball to Romeo Doubs where Doubs can only get to it. So I liked what I saw. He looks. I think that's the big thing for an NFL player is you got to look comfortable there. And I thought Jordan looked comfortable. He controlled the offense and did well the first two drives.
Did you say calm, cool, and collective?
That's right. The triple C's.
Isn't it calm, cool, and collected?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, just curious.
I like to make up words, too.
All English stuff here on the show. Before we get to Felica, well, maybe we can bring in Felica for this, but you and I were just having this, because we just talked about Immaculate Grid with Spore, and I don't want to make too much of this, but this has really sort of gotten to be an obsession with it, and again, I talked about it a little last week, which is this just online baseball game, nine squares again, 3x3. Sometimes it's teams, mostly it's teams. And you just have to come up with a player that played for both of them, right? The vertical and the horizontal. Or it's a stat combined with a team. And you have to figure out a guy who's done, who hit 300, let's say, for a certain franchise. And you and I were saying that the biggest quirk of all this, it teaches you about yourself again. What were the years of your life? I said it last week where it's like you go through marriage, divorce, having kids, deaths in family. But somehow I know that Richie Zisk played for the Rangers. it's like, why is it specifically about baseball? Because football is really my love, right? But it's not the same for football. What is it about baseball specifically that has this place in your brain? And you were saying the most frustrating part is the days where you start out 5 for 5 and you're like 2% or lower on all of them. You're like, this is the immaculate grid of all immaculate grids. But then there's a franchise that just murders you. Like the Marlins or someone like that. You're like, I only know one Marlins team well.
Yeah, or when they mix like the Pirates and the Royals together. I'm like, oh God. I'm trying to remember like who was on what team. Awesome. Like there's only been one good Royals or two good Royals teams the last 30 years for me to remember.
It's awesome. We spend much of our day on this stuff now. Chris Felica's obsessed as well. He is the Bear from Fox Sports back from Australia, where he's watching the Women's World Cup and giving out great bets, by the way. Had a great betting record on this. How you doing, Chris?
Richie Zisk, Mariner Ranger, by the way. So the Mariner Ranger combo pops up. Richie Zisk. He'll probably be somewhere right around that, 3% probably range as well. I don't think the user demo right now will be going back to the 70s and 80s for Richie Zisk.
Shouldn't a person who's like 1,000 years old be better at this game, right? Like if you remember someone from the 40s and 50s.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how you can, the recall of sitting there in the late 70s, early 80s, and looking at the faces of baseball cards as you're collecting, and then you turn into the roto age of the early 90s and today. Like I'm just flipping back. Okay, 1979 Tops with like the pennant thing on the bottom, and like I remember there was it's funny, the Blue Jays and Rangers popped up a couple days ago as a combo, and I remembered the Bump Wills error card.
Yes.
Where it has him,
yes,
in a Rangers jersey, but a Blue Jays like team logo. So the card was, he never played for both of them, but the card actually had him as a Blue Jay. Remember the Blue Jays, even though it was just just funny how your mind thinks of this stuff.
It is total zeitgeist of American sports fan right here. It is so awesome. Okay. Couple things before we go. I want to get your soccer thoughts on the Women's World Cup. We're at the semis now, and I want to get three college football season win totals that you have for us, which are all unders, in three different conferences. Before that,
shocking, right?
The man loves unders. That's how you're supposed to do this. That's what your instinct ought to be on many of these. Not all, but many. First, though, you like to delve into cross-sport parlays. Are you still doing those? And if so, would you like to share a combination or two? Maybe not the exact combination, but certain parts, certain legs of those combinations that you're looking at in making those bets.
It's interesting. Like when you, what did you do on your first off day in Australia when I was down there? I sat in front of a kiosk that said a sports book for about 3 hours and punched in a bunch of cross-board parlays that if I potentially wanted to win them to figure out, can I actually staying like electronically over the phone? Am I going to have to fly back to Australia to do it? But no, it was great because I sat there and accumulated like a 17 leg parlay that basically Otani, American League MVP, Acuna, NL MVP, Garrett Cole, AL Cy Young, Corbin Carroll, NL Rookie of the Year. And these are all big prices, but as you get deeper and deeper into the parlay, and these are all bets that are going to win. And I singled the Aces and the WNBA, and then I have a combo of a Super Bowl champ, World Series champ, and Women's World Cup champ. So as long as Australia doesn't win, I'm live to Spain, England, and Sweden, who I liked before the tournament. Then I got the obvious Astros, Braves, Dodgers in baseball. And then the NFL is where I went a little bit deep and a little off the board. I got Chiefs, Niners, Cowboys, Browns, and Jets. So those were the five that I went with in the NFL. But it extrapolated out to a decent number of parlays, but the math, which how I play them, if I wind up hitting one of them, it'll be a nice score. But yeah, if Sweden happens to lift this trophy on Sunday, Bears Bank will be very full. I can promise you that.
Yeah. So mainly the chalky, but in the NFL, Chiefs, Niners, Cowboys, Browns. What was the fifth? Saints? Did you say?
Jets.
Jets.
Believe it or not,
Jets.
Okay. I did not want to be the one as a lifelong Jets fan to actually have the magical year and be sitting there Super Bowl Sunday being like, oh my God, I'd be alive to well into 6 years Jets win Super Bowl and I don't have them. So that would just be like perfect Jets fandom.
Yes, it would be. Well, yeah, I think you may have tipped us off here on your Women's World Cup leanings because you have some betting interest in them. But were you landing on this right now? I'm curious to see if you would remain consistent with it. The two semis are set. Yeah. Spain, Sweden tomorrow night, Australia, the home team, and England on Wednesday. What you got?
I don't understand why Sweden continues to be kind of overlooked from the odds makers' perspective. If you look at what they've done so far in the tournament and won all three of their group stage games, outscored their opponents by a combined 9-1, round of 16, they knocked out the more ranked team in the world. They advanced. Quarterfinals, Japan was a team in the tournament that has been playing, I think, the best, most exciting brand of soccer in the tournament so far. They beat Japan, who, oh, by the way, beat Spain 4-0 in the group stage. That is Sweden's semifinal opponent. And now a lot of times in sports, too, like you hear like the whole, like with the Red Sox, like you needed to lose the ALCS in that type of fashion to the Yankees in order to get over the hump. You needed to, or build that scar tissue ultimately to kind of get you to the next stage. Well, that's kind of where Sweden is with, they've never won a major trophy, lost in some semifinals, lost in some finals. This is kind of the last chance of this group to go out and win something. I think they have a great chance to beat Spain tomorrow. I mean, Spain wasn't great by any means in their win over the Netherlands. I mean, it took them a late goal to Netherlands ultimately tied it up, and then they won it in extra time. But a lot of times, Spain has a lot of possession, and they don't necessarily see it through for goals. I think how technically sound and how efficient Sweden are in set pieces. I think Sweden the draw win is a good bet here, kind of at -130 or so. So that means for 90 minutes, if the match goes to extra time, you win, or if Sweden actually wins in 90 minutes, you win. That's
so,
how I play.
So
it.
Sweden win or draw, -130.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, the draw individually, +210. Sweden individually on the three-way, +275. But Chris is going to go with the -130 bet, draw or win on Sweden. That is tomorrow. Wednesday, Australia and England. How do you see that?
Look at the way these two teams got in there. I mean, Australia's been without Its best player, Sam Kerr, for majority of the tournament. She came back and played a good bit in the France quarterfinal match. I mean, both teams have been so resilient. They had a number of people miss out on the roster because of injury, and then they lost Lauren James due to a red card against Nigeria. Kira Walsh, they're arguably their best player. She missed some times as well. But all they did was find a way to get through a Nigeria penalties, which they lost James. And they fell behind 1-0 to Colombia, a really young, energetic, exciting squad. Came back and won 2-1, and they're the favorite in this tournament. I wonder in a spot like this, and having been down there for a month, how excited the nation is for Australia, for the Matildas, and maybe getting Sam Kerr back. Like, I wonder if the emotional high of that, the longest penalty shootout win ever in World Cup history, being in that match, can that, like, how much did that take out of them? We saw earlier in the tournament, and the players actually mentioned it, how New Zealand upset Norway in the very first match of the tournament. And it was like, oh, New Zealand's going to advance now. They all got to do is get a point against Philippines. Well, they lost the Philippines. They were one of the worst teams in the tournament. And they came out actually in between the Philippines match and then the final group stage match and said, yeah, you know what? We were so excited. It was hard to get back in mindset to focus on the match. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily going to be easy, but I think that might be something to be aware of. I think England are the best team in the tournament remaining. I do think they're deeper. I think they're better than Australia. At times, Australia, we've seen their back line get a little sloppy. So I like England to advance in under 3.5 goals. I think Australia will have a hard time scoring.
There you go. College football season win totals next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Throughout the NFL preseason, the VSiN experts are busy evaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guide is due out later this month and will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use VSiN betting splits, and football contest strategies. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and reserve your copy of the guide, or take advantage of our football season special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. I want to apologize for the janky tech connection today. It is not Chris Felica's connection. It is not Paul Spohr's connection. It is us. It's not you, it's me. So we apologize for that. We're working on it. We hope that it gets better, and we're fighting through it. But we're getting the gist of it. Anything that falls between the cracks here, we'll sort of clarify. But we're getting the gist of what the guests are pitching you on bets-wise. And speaking of that, Chris Felica from Fox Sports joins us once again to give a few, not just two, but a few, three, college football season win total unders. Never too late. Where do you want to start? Let's go to the ACC. What do you got there as an under?
Yeah, two in the ACC, and the first one's Georgia Tech. It's 4.5. And again, I'm fully admitting I probably missed the best numbers because I did get a late start, and I apologize for that. But I do see 4.5, and I still think it's worth a play. I mean, this is a team that, they weren't supposed to be very good last year, and they surprised some people by winning last year. And then it was gone. And I think Brett Key, rather, who took over midseason, they gave him the job because he did so well. And a lot of times these coaches that get the job after being successful on an interim basis, who knows how that's going to play out. I mean, they did add Haynes King in the transfer portal to replace Jeff Sims, who went to Nebraska. But I just wonder, some of those wins last year that Georgia Tech had, it might be a situation where teams just completely looked past the Yellow Jackets because they figured they would be a little bit of a push. Like, I don't know how they came back from 17-0 down early in the game to North Carolina. I just don't know this year with Georgia Tech if we can really say, okay, they're going to go from 4 wins to 5 wins this year. I mean, anytime in a non-conference schedule, you're looking at having a road game against Ole Miss, and then Georgia is a non-conference game, those are 2 losses. And then even some of their ACC games, the winnable games, like Georgia, like Wake Forest is on the road, Virginia's on the road, they do get BC at home. Like, it feels very 4 to me. As long as you can get 4.5, I think you're good.
Under 4.5 on Georgia Tech for Chris. I mean, I don't want to make a completely outlandish statement, but this may be that. I'm looking at the schedule. We all do this, right? We looked up and down the schedule. Mm-hmm. We're like, okay, they're going to beat South Carolina State. Let's give them Bowling Green at home. Let's give them BC at home. Let's give them Syracuse at home. All the others, I guess, could be losses. Is it too outlandish to say that this entire total, the 4.5, could come down to their very first game against the Jeff Brohm-coached Louisville team? Like, that to me seems like their fulcrum game.
I think it probably would be the Syracuse game November 18th. I think that's one late in the year, depending how the Orange fare this year with them. I mean, that was another team that surprised me last year. They're a lot better than that. As they wouldn't, depending on how this season goes, that could be a fulcrum game for both Syracuse and Georgia. I think Louisville will beat Georgia. I think Louisville has an opportunity with Brohm to be very good this year. I think moving on from Scott Satterfield is a good thing for both parties. Did a bad job, but I think I just think the fit wasn't right there, and I think Louisville is going to be much improved this year. But another under in the ACC, a team that I mentioned on Georgia Tech. Virginia, and I hate with the awful season that Virginia had last year. I'm not talking about on the field, the unspeakable tragedy that happened. You hate being skeptical. You want to root Virginia, and you want to see them back to back and have a good season this year. But I don't know if it's going to happen. The offense took such a massive step back last year, and that was with Brennan Armstrong, and now he's gone. They're still certain what they're going to do. Like, we were one of the worst offenses in the country, and they shouldn't have been with Tony Elliott and his pedigree that he has had as an offensive guy at Clemson. So, like, the bottom kind of fell out on the field, and then the season was tragically cut short because of the deaths of in the horrible shooting. But, like, again, we talked about non-conference schedule. Like, Virginia right out of the gate. Tennessee, you're not going to beat Tennessee. James Madison is
James Madison scares me, believe it or not.
Maryland, like right out of the gate, like you're scaring 0-3. NC State, you're maybe 0-4, and BC, like I don't know, man. 3.5, I think if they get to 4, I feel pretty good about Virginia on 3.5.
By the way, is the kid from Monmouth, you know I have a connection to Monmouth, Tony Musket, is he the starting quarterback projected there at Virginia?
He potentially could be, yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. Great FCS quarterback, but you know how this goes when you step up a level. So we shall see. So under 3.5 on UVA for Mr. Felica. And one more. We go to the Big Ten. What do you got here?
Yeah, and Michigan State is a team that 2 years ago, this is the third straight year I've actually been involved on Michigan State. 2 years ago when they had that magical season with Mel Tucker, I was on under, and I heard a lot from Michigan State fans throughout the course of the year about how awful my pick was. Last year, I was on Michigan State under. I guess I said a lot of the things that they did in 2021 were not going to be sustainable in 2022, and then I kind of didn't hear from Michigan State fans last year after the Washington game. You about how well the season went from their viewpoint. I'm under 5.5 again for Michigan State. This team, Mel Tucker has lived in the transfer portal, and they got two jolts in the transfer portal, losing Peyton Thorne and losing Cameron to Florida State. Like, depending on who you talk to, maybe Thorne lost the job and Caden Hauser was going to be the guy anyway. But I'm not sure about Michigan State this year. I think there are some things going on in terms of anytime you're building a team now solely by the transfer portal, it's a little bit of a risk because you're just kind of getting 1 year rentals instead of recruiting guys and building a strong foundation of a program. Maybe it will work this year, maybe it won't. You look at the Spartan schedule, like a really good chance, I think, that they may not win a game from that Michigan game on. But through the end of the year, your final six games: Michigan, at Minnesota, home Nebraska, at Ohio State, at Indiana, will be very improved this year, and home Penn State. So I think it's a very difficult end to the year. I think the Maryland game early on will probably be a swing game for Michigan State. But I am under 5.5 for Michigan State because I think the losses that they had on the offensive side of the ball are going to be too big to. to really overcome in a dramatic sense.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, that 39-28 loss to UW to Washington last year, after that they lost five of their last six, so it really did go downhill from there. Maybe that September 16th game against Washington ends up being similarly important to the fate of this season, if you will, as well. You isolated the Maryland game.
The funny thing is that it's one of those games that, as someone with an under ticket on both Washington and Michigan State, you're going to have to figure out, like, who do I really need to lose that game with? More right. opportunities to lose throughout the course of the year. How can I better my position?
Yeah. Chris, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. Apologies about the connection, man. Thank you, though.
That's okay. We'll do it again at some point soon once we get closer to the year and maybe with a little better connection. Maybe in person. Who knows?
My man. Yes, let's do that. Chris Velika, the Bear from Fox. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. At Chris Velika, F-A-L-L-I-C-A, on the Twitter machine. And once again, to repeat those, Georgia Tech under 4.5, UVA under 3.5 season win total, and Michigan State in the Big Ten under 5.5. Real quick, one tennis play for the day. We've gone from the ladies playing in Montreal and the men playing in Toronto, which is a great tournament up in Canada, on the run-up to the U.S. Open, to now the tournament right prior to the United States Open on this hard court season. It, of course, is the Western and Southern Open in Cincinnati. This is how the tennis schedule is every year. It's 1,000 tournaments, so it's, again, the best of the best, just like was the case in Toronto and Montreal. I have one play, and you can actually get it at a better number than I got it. It's on the women's side. I've got Zhu Lin. I got her at -120 against Angelina Kalinina. How you like that name? Angelina Kalinina. I think if my last name was Kalinina, I'd name my baby daughter Angelina, just for the rhyme. But right now, it's a coin flip. You can actually get 10 cents better than I did, which is not how it's been going. Lately, we've gotten tons of CLV to mixed results. Hopefully not having CLV, if this holds, will give us a win. But that's what it is right now. I'm seeing -111, -110 on Zhu Lin. Again, I got her -120 last night. All of these plays, tennis and beyond, not just me, not just guests on this show, but all of the hosts on VSiN, all of the guests on VSiN can be found at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers only. Again, I usually put in the tennis the night before, as was the case with this. So Zhu Lin, your tennis play of the day. Our own Wes Reynolds will join us momentarily. He, of course, is the co-host of not only VSiN Tonight with Matt Humans, but also Long Shots, the greatest golf podcast there ever was. We will talk golf on the other side with Wes. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Power ratings, picks, previews, predictions, pro, as in become a VSiN Pro subscriber, getting all access pass to our betting tools, betting splits, and the 2023 college football and NFL betting guides. Both the college football guide and our NFL betting guide will have you ready to turn a profit on the gridiron this year. The only way to get the guides and everything we have to offer is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, and you could do exactly that at vsin.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback on all. Bobby Peaches, it's great meeting you at Bet Bash. I think it's safe to say we all enjoyed those panels. Bobby Peaches, it was great meeting you too, by the way. Everyone super friendly again at Bet Bash 3. Just an awesome event. I cannot recommend it highly enough if you have not been to one. Bet Bash 4 next year. Spanky will have the details when he gets them. So, so worth it on so many levels. Mike D, talk about my Richie Zisk comment. Zisk was raised in Parsippany, New Jersey, and played baseball at Parsippany High School. In 2004, he finished his major league career with 207 home runs. Zisk was inducted into the National Polish American Sports Hall of Fame. There you go. All right. I don't know what the 2004 part was. I misunderstood that part. Trip Tepper, so true about Grid Gill. Why do I know that Freddie Patek played for the Royals? It's so true. It lets you know when it's a snapshot into your brain. Oh, when I collected baseball cards, for whatever reason, it's part of the evolution of man, right? We just remember stuff that happens in our childhood. And then, as I said, maybe you played fantasy baseball, but then maybe you went to college and chased girls and you didn't care about baseball for 4 years. I don't know. Maybe. So I've heard that happens, you know. Someone told me. Trevor Warwick, I have Snell 100-1 and Strider 8-1. So based off of what I'm hearing from Spore, should I go steal at 7-1 and just pray Gallen fails? There's a lot of people who are in that situation where they have everybody but Gallen at this point. But somehow he remains the betting short shot. every time those of us who have Strider bets are like, oh, we're not only watching Strider intently, though we're watching to see if Gallen fails on a given night.
I enjoyed it on Saturday when we were texting. I was like, hey, Spencer Strider, he pitched really well. He goes, oh, trust me, I watched every out.
Every out. I did. But now, so his ERA is 3.75. We're going to need a couple more of those, though.
It was just a positive start.
Yeah. Because he was, what, a 3.94 before that game after he got shelled?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
So 3.75, you got to get below 3.5. Because otherwise, I don't know that, because a lot of those voters would be like, what, 3.61? I'm not voting for this guy.
Like I told you on Saturday, I think if he has an opportunity to face the Dodgers and have a really good game against them, who are red hot right now,
yeah,
I think that could kind of propel him to the top again.
Real quick before we get to Wes, the basketball story, in case you missed it this morning, on another side of the world, I believe this was in China, James Harden, this is Shams Charania reporting now a few hours ago, but this happened a couple hours before we got on air. He's at a Q&A, and someone asked him a question, and James Harden says, quote, Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be a part of an organization that he's a part of. Let me say that again. Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be part of an organization that he's a part of. Sixers win total 49.5. Place your bets. Who would want this dude? I'm not even... First of all, just from an aesthetic standpoint, and I loved James Harden when he was at Arizona State, and I loved him at OKC because he was a special, different kind of player, super unselfish. But he turned the game into this horrible, as the years went on, step back, induce a foul, staccato, horrible watch. And he ain't winning championships with him either, by the way. And I think if Joel Embiid is given truth serum, if he was being honest right now, based on this report this morning, I have a feeling there's a part of him who's like, this is the best thing that could have ever happened to me. I don't want to play with him anymore. Like, I really don't think that Harden is going to get you a championship at this point.
I love that you brought that up because over the last, 5 years, he's asked for a trade from the Rockets. He's asked for a trade from the Nets.
It's ridiculous.
Nets. Now the Sixers, if you trade, like, you're not going to give up all these assets to be like, a year from now, what if he asks to trade from you?
It's 100% a possibility. Wes Reynolds, ladies and gentlemen, is the glue that holds this operation together. He, again, is the co-host of Not Just VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns, heard nightly here at VSiN, but of course, a co-host of the greatest golf podcast there ever was, Long Shots. Wes Reynolds joins us right now. How you doing, Wes?
I'm well, Gil. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I said at the top of the show, first leg of the three-pronged FedEx Cup yesterday, the St. Jude and Lucas Glover overcomes a horrific case of swamp tuchus to beat Patrick Cantlay in a playoff. Cantlay was going for his fourth FedEx win in six events, dating back to 2021, which was just unbelievable. Instead, Glover gets back-to-back wins. They cut it from 70 to 50. What do you say about that performance yesterday? And can Glover have a three-peat this week?
Yeah, on the Cantlay side, first of all, if you recall, the event out here, actually, at TPC Summerlin, did the same thing on the first playoff hole, dead left off the tee, and ends up costing him the playoff. But the story, obviously, is Lucas Glover, the fact that he was able to go back-to-back. And I think a lot of us kind of ignored past course form this week because it's like, hey, can this guy really do it back-to-back? Because the Wyndham was obviously an easier field than certainly a FedEx Cup event would be like in Memphis last weekend, and was able to do it back-to-back. And I think he's very much, even at 43 years old, now kind of playing the best golf that he's played ever since he won that U.S. Open at Bethpage Black back in the late 2000s. He's playing the best golf he has of his career. So I'm not saying he's on the team, but I think that he's absolutely in consideration, and Zach Johnson should be considering him for the Ryder Cup because I don't think that you have a definitive 12 to take over to Rome right now. So I can't say that he can't go back-to-back-to-back three consecutive weeks. I think this course at Olympia Field's a little bit tougher, though. So you would usually, I think, expect a class player to win on a classical course like this.
BMW Championship is what Wes is referring to. Again, this goes from St. Jude, the FedEx St. Jude Championship, to the BMW Championship, then to the Tour Championship, where it'll be 30. Remember, 70, 50, 30 is now the format of the FedEx Cup. I know Long Shots is coming up this week. I know you haven't delved completely, but you're good at sort of giving us a name or two here at the front of the week that you believe will be in your bets. Who might that be this week?
Yeah, I don't know if I want to give Tommy Fleetwood again like I did last week. He just keeps disappointing on Sunday. Had a couple makeable putts. Actually had a chance to get in the playoff with the birdie on 18. Wasn't able to make it. So I don't know. Do I just keep going back to him and be stubborn and keep betting him until he wins? Would, you know, to avoid the FOMO, the fear of missing out? Maybe so, maybe not. I haven't decided yet. But I think I'm going to have a little Colin Morikawa, who I thought played solid, just didn't make a lot of birdies on the weekend at 22-1. I'm going to have him. And also go back to Cameron Young. I think I'm seeing market wide at 40. There might have been a couple 50s out there this morning, but those were two that at least jumped out at me at first glance.
How big of a preseason football better are you, Wes? If not a better, then what can you glean, if anything, from week one of the National Football League preseason? What stood out to you?
Yeah, look, I have been betting preseason off to at least a fairly decent start. And with preseason, though, what I do a lot more, you know, different type of markets, not your traditional side and total. So I will play more quarters. I will play more first halves. I certainly look at second halves, and that's just judging by the quarterback rotation and looking at what quarterbacks I want to play. Like somebody like, just an example, like a Dorian Thompson Robinson, for Cleveland is a quarterback you kind of want to be on. And he played well again, even though they went down to defeat Washington on Friday. And then there's certain quarterbacks you want to fade. But one of the things I guess I was a little bit surprised of is the fact that it was a little bit higher scoring, because we always expect, okay, you know, the first stringers aren't going to play very much. And the, you know, the overs seem to do very well. I believe they went 10-5-1. In this first full week of preseason. Now, last year they regressed to about 500. I think they were like 8-8 in the second week. So I was a little bit surprised to see maybe some higher scoring here in week one than anticipated.
Jordan Love, Sam Howell. I'm trying to think of some of the quarterbacks who are incumbent to start for teams, young quarterbacks who obviously, you know, produce varied opinions. Those are two that leap to mind, obviously, in backup roles, Zach Wilson, Tyler Huntley. But really, when it comes down to Jordan Love and a guy like Sam Howell in Washington, Jordan Love, obviously, in Green Bay, did you take anything away from either of their performances where you're like, okay, maybe they're actually going to be okay?
Maybe not much from the performance per se, but I'm a little bit higher on Green Bay than I think a lot of the market is. I think dropping them down to 7.5 is way too low in what is a very wide open division where you have a team that is the favorite and the justifiable favorite, by the way, in Detroit, but they've never been in that role before. And I think there's something to be said for Green Bay maybe being glad to be done with the Aaron Rodgers soap opera and a lot of these veteran guys like, okay, we're going to run with the kid. You know, this is your show now. This is your opportunity, and we're going to be there for you. So I actually think, I mean, Green Bay still has a very good defense, pretty solid coaching staff. They can still run the ball. They've got all these young receivers that they've drafted and acquired in the last couple of years. So I'm a little bit higher on Green Bay in the market. I think they're being discounted way too soon.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you too, Wes. I'm almost worried that too many of us are high on Green Bay now. Like, it's almost become trendy to be on top of them. I don't know. That's just me and the gambling psychology working against me. More with Wes Reynolds, host of VSiN Tonight and Long Shots. On the other side, it's a numbers game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. Just looking up and down sort of week one NFL preseason box scores and what is noteworthy. Again, trying to see what triggers a bet, or at least makes you think about a bet. A lot of it is obviously backup quarterback related. Aiden O'Connell of the Raiders gets the backup quarterback award of the weekend, though, by the way, for scoring at home. 15 of 18 for 141 and a 117.8 passer rating for Aiden O'Connell for the Raiders in their 34-7 win over the Niners. Did you see that stadium? Overrun with Niners fans. That was unbelievable.
So my roommate, he works at the Lids at Mandalay Bay, and he said they sold out of Niners stuff like in a heartbeat. It was unbelievable.
I mean, it's a local rivalry in the Yay, in the Bay Area, but good Lord, it's the preseason game. Relax, everybody. Trey Lance, speaking of backups, Trey Lance with the Niners in that game. He finished 10 of 15 for 112, a touchdown, and a 111 passer rating himself, but he was also sacked four times, had another interception, would-be interception dropped. So I don't think their backup situation in San Francisco wasn't cleared up because Sam Darnold didn't do much better. He was 5 of 9 for 84 yards. But again, those are backups. Derek Carr looked good when he was in for the Saints, 6 of 8 for 70 and a touchdown in the Saints' 26-24 win over the Chiefs yesterday. We mentioned Tyler Huntley looked great. He's solidified his hold on the number two quarterback role for the Ravens over Josh Johnson, the peripatetic Josh Johnson. Zach Wilson looked good, I guess. 14 of 20 for 123 as the backup for the Jets, Aaron Rodgers, but he didn't complete a pass that traveled more than 10 yards. Should be pointed out as well. Bears stats look gaudy, but those were all run and catch. Those were all yak for the Bears, their long touchdowns. Malik Willis looked good for the Titans, maybe better than Will Levis did. Again, talking about the backup quarterback carousel, Malik Willis, 16 completions for 189 yards and a pick. Levis, 9 of 14 for 85 and a pick. We bring in Wes Reynolds because I want to go to the rookies because we started out the show again with two things. One, from a betting perspective, again, the 560-0 permutations and combinations of the three-team 10-point over teasers. 560-0 last year, week one. This year, because one game didn't get there, the Dolphins game, it ends up going 455-105 for a two-year week one preseason cumulative record of 1,115-105 if you did all those combinations of three-team 10-point overs. Ravens get to 24-0 money line, but I want to ask you, Wes, specifically about your Colts. Anthony Richardson, 7 of 12 for 67 yards, a pick. The pick didn't look good, but we were talking earlier about Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson. It wasn't all their fault. In the case of Young and Stroud, a lot of it was offensive line. In the case of Richardson, it was penalties. It was field position. I mean, I think two drives started inside the 10. Would you start him game one if you're the coach of the Colts right now?
I'm starting to think maybe I would, even though I've kind of been a team Minshew mini here, just because he's a guy that maybe doesn't go win it for you, but he doesn't get you beat. And I think working with Steichen, he kind of, you know, knows the system and knows the offense and can, you know, teach the young man by example. But what you saw with Richardson, I think, is a little bit of why the Colts like him so much and why he has such a high upside. He has the talent. And he has the arm, and he has the size and the athleticism and everything you want. He threw a bad pick, and that's what rookies are going to do. You know, that's something that I often, tell people about this. It's like, you remember that Peyton Manning guy? Yeah, he threw 30 interceptions as a rookie in Indianapolis. You have to be able to live with mistakes with a rookie quarterback. So that's why I'm starting to maybe come around to the fact that, you know what, if this team is a rebuild, and I still think that they are now, they seem to be think that they're a little bit closer than they realistically are, but you might as well throw them out there, I think, and maybe give it a shot. If that's what you're going to do, I think you kind of got to live with mistakes, and you got to live with turnovers with a young quarterback, and then put all the different tools around him. I obviously think he needs a better receiving core. I think Michael Pittman's a very good receiver, but he's a very good number two receiver. He's not exactly, you know, Peyton Manning having Marvin Harrison here.
Yeah, I'll put you as D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans has been giving C.J. Stroud every chance to be, you know, solidify himself as a starting quarterback in Houston. Obviously, it's a rebuild. He's the number two pick in the draft. They traded up to grab Will Anderson at number three. But, yeah, I mean, his offensive line didn't do him any favors, that's for sure. But in the end, you know, it's hard to look at his 2 of 4 for 13 with a pick versus Davis Mills 9 of 12 for 99 and a touchdown and not sort of say to yourself, yeah, I know they were all under pressure 60% of their dropbacks, but man, do we want to put this kid in the fire week one? What would you do?
And that's understandable, and I don't believe the Texans started their entire offensive line, because actually the Texans offensive line, when you looked at it on paper coming into the season, you know, led by Titus Howard, isn't a bad group. It certainly isn't what the Colts produced last year, because the Colts offensive line, for as much as they pay those guys and having Quentin Nelson up there up front, they gave up 60 sacks last year. So that is a bit of a concern. And usually I'm kind of more old school and I'm a little bit more conservative, and it's like, okay, there are the rare birds like the Andrew Lucks and the Peyton Mannings that you start from day one. But, you know, you don't have time almost to really wait anymore, because you're drafting these guys so high. You have to know what you have, or you get into a situation like the 49ers are with Trey Lance, where it's like, man, we committed to this guy. And we're already not happy. We're already looking to get out of it. So you want to know, I think, in a more immediate manner of what you have with these rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah, just looking at some other stats. Drew Lock is, you know, obviously the backup slated behind, of course, Geno Smith in Seattle. He was 17 of 24 for 191 yards in their game versus the Vikings. 2 touchdown passes, tough luck pick on a throw that was tipped at the line of scrimmage. Let me just ask you about a betting thing, because anecdotally, I know two guys, Jason Weingarten being one of them, who was on set with me last week, who have bet Stetson Bennett to win Offensive Rookie of the Year at massive triple-digit odds. And I just want to know if you're buying or selling on the path of this as a potential bet at those kinds of numbers. Stetson Bennett for the Rams, his first series would have resulted in a turnover if not for 2 dropped picks, but instead he capped it with a 16-play, 75-yard drive with an 11-yard touchdown pass. Then he led a 4-play, 75-yard scoring drive highlighted by a 17-yard touchdown pass to Tyler Johnson. Would you make a bet on Stetson Bennett to win Offensive Rookie of the Year just under the circumstances of, you know, if in fact the Rams don't start well and by midseason they're sort of like, well, we're not going to do anything this year. Maybe you should take a seat, Matthew Stafford.
I probably would not personally, because I don't really go all that deep into the awards markets, but you know, it's not implausible with the fact that you have Matthew Stafford coming off of surgery. He's not getting any younger. So, he could get hurt and find himself out of it, and then Sean McVay has to go to the young guy from Georgia.
All right, Wes, appreciate it. By the way, Bijan Robinson is the short shot at Offensive Rookie of the Year, plus 275. Young Richardson Stroud, 5-1, 6-1, plus 850. The incumbent rookie quarterbacks for the three respective teams, Panthers, Colts, and Texans. Thank you, Wes. Appreciate it. We'll listen to you tonight.
All right. Thank you.
VSiN tonight, of course, Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. Pacific. Midnight. Is that 9 p.m. Pacific or 9 p.m. Eastern? I think it's 9 p.m. No. Eastern.
Yeah, 9.
6 p.m. Pacific, yep. 9 p.m. Eastern, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. By the way, we get tweets, we get texts. Will Hill also pointing out about that James Harden story. You know, the other side of that James Harden story, rather than just piling on James, is if, in fact, there was a handshake deal with Daryl Morey, and they were boys, those two guys, Morey and Harden. Morey loved nothing more than having James Harden on his team in two venues, in two cities. Harden, you know, the deal was, if Harden was going to take less last year to maneuver the cap on the condition that, you know, Morey hooks him up with a long-term deal this summer and that he reneged on that, well, then Harden is justifiably upset by that. That could be the case as well. But again, you know, you're making what, $40 million plus? You're playing for the Sixers. You're still a playoff team. Perhaps he should temper that anger as well. And Joe Pita chiming in about Immaculate Grid. He did not hear us talking about it. He goes, the greatest game for anyone our age to stave off early onset dementia. And he says, kidding, not kidding. Immaculate Grid. Can't say enough about it. We've done all we could do. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.